We now continue with The Glories of Mary by St. Alphonsus de Liguori.
7. Finally, on the day of the feast, after communion, we must offer ourselves to the service of this Divine Mother, and ask of her the grace to practice the virtue, or whatever other grace we had proposed to ourselves, during the novena. It is very well, every year, to choose, amongst the feasts of the Blessed Virgin, one for which we have the greatest and most tender devotion, and for this one to make a very special preparation by dedicating ourselves anew, and in a more particular manner, to her service, choosing her for our Sovereign Lady, Advocate, and Mother. Then we must ask her pardon for all our negligence in her service during the past year, and promise greater fidelity for the next, and conclude by begging her to accept us for her servants, and to obtain us a holy death. Part 3. The Rosary and the Office of Our Blessed Lady. It is well known that the devotion of the Most Holy Rosary was revealed to Saint Dominic by the Divine Mother herself, at a time when the saint was in affliction and bewailing with his Sovereign Lady over the Albigensian heretics who were at that time doing great mischief into the church. The Blessed Virgin said to him, "This land will always be sterile when rain falls on it." Saint Dominic was then given to understand that this rain was the devotion of the Rosary which he was to propagate. This the saint indeed did, and it was embraced by all Catholics, so much so that even to the present day there is no devotion so generally practiced by the faithful of all classes as that of the Rosary. What is there that modern heretics, Calvin, Bucer, and others, have not said to throw discredit on the use of beads? But the immense good that this noble devotion has done to the world is well known. How many, by its means, have been delivered from sin? How many led to a holy life? How many to a good death, and are now saved? To be convinced of this, we need only read the many books that treat on the subject. Suffice it to know that this devotion has been approved by the Church, and that the Sovereign Pontiffs have enriched it with indulgences. The Holy Author here enumerates the principal indulgences that had been attached to the devotion of the Rosary up to the time in which he wrote. Conformably to his intention, we here indicate those that we can gain at the present time, according to the Rikolta. An indulgence of 100 days for every Our Father and every Hail Mary is granted to all the faithful who, with devotion and at least contrite heart, shall say either the whole rosary of 15 decades, or a third part of it, that is, 5 decades. And if they recite the whole or at least 5 decades for every day for a year, they can gain a plenary indulgence on any day of their choice after confession and communion. Besides, an indulgence of 10 years and 10 times 40 days to those who recite the rosary of 5 decades in company with others, either in public or in private. And if persons have the habit of thus reciting it at least 3 times a week, they can gain a plenary indulgence on the last Sunday of every month, under the usual conditions. A plenary indulgence may be gained by saying 5 decades before the Blessed Sacrament, either exposed or in the tabernacle. There are many special indulgences for the month of October. These different indulgences are applicable to the souls in purgatory. To gain them, we must have a rosary that has been blessed by a priest who has the power to bless it. And, in reciting it, we must meditate on the mysteries of the birth, the passion, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ in the following order for 15 decades, each composed of an Our Father, 10 Hail Marys, and 1 Glory Be to the Father. The Joyful Mysteries, the Annunciation, the Visitation, the Birth, the Presentation, and Finding of Jesus in the Temple. Sorrowful Mysteries, the Sufferings of Jesus in the Garden, the Scourging, the Crowning with Thorns, the Carrying of the Cross, and the Crucifixion. The Glorious Mysteries, the Resurrection, the Ascension, the Coming of the Holy Ghost, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin, her Coronation in Heaven. When we recite only 5 decades, we meditate according to our devotion on the joyful, the sorrowful, or the glorious mysteries. Those who are unable to meditate on these divine mysteries may gain the indulgence by merely saying the rosary devoutly. The decades may be said separately, provided they are said in one day. We must here observe that the faithful who are members of the confraternity of the Holy Rosary can gain many other indulgences, either by reciting the rosary or by performing other good works. The indulgences of the crozier beads of 500 days for every Our Father and every Hail Mary can be gained simultaneously with the Dominican indulgences if the beads have both blessings. We now continue with the glories of Mary. The rosary should also be said with devotion, and here we may call to mind what the Blessed Virgin said to Saint Eulalia, that she was better pleased with 5 decades said slowly and devoutly than with 15 said in a hurry and with little devotion. It is, therefore, well to say the rosary kneeling before an image of Mary, and before each decade to make an act of love to Jesus and Mary, and ask them for some particular grace. It is also preferable to say it with others rather than alone. 2. As to the little office of the Blessed Virgin, which is said to have been composed by St. Peter Damian, Pius V granted indulgences to those who recited it, which are now replaced by those of Leo XIII. And the Blessed Virgin has many times shown how acceptable this devotion is to her, as may be seen in Father Aramia's little work. She is also much pleased with the Litany of Loreto, for reciting which there is an indulgence of 300 days each time, and for those who say it every day, a plenary indulgence on Mary's 5 principal festivals, the Immaculate Conception, Nativity, Annunciation, Purification, and Assumption, on the usual conditions. The hymn Ave Maria Stella, Hail Star of the Sea, is also very pleasing to Mary. She desired St. Bridget to say it every day, but still more is she pleased with the Magnificat, for we then praise her in the very words which she herself praised God.
Part 4. Fasting. There are many devout clients of Mary who, to honor her, fast on bread and water on Saturdays and the vigils of her feasts. It is well known that Saturday is dedicated by the Holy Church to Mary, because, as St. Bernard says, on that day, the day after the death of her son, she remained constant in faith. Therefore, Mary's clients are careful to honor her on that day by some particular devotion, and especially by fasting on bread and water, as did St. Charles Borromeo, Cardinal Tolle, and many others. Natard, Bishop of Bamberg, and Father Joseph Arriga of the Society of Jesus, took no food at all on that day. The great graces that the Mother of God has dispensed to those who do this are recorded by Father Aramia in his little work. Let one example suffice. It is that of the famous Captain of Brigands, who, on account of this devotion, was preserved in life after his head had been cut off, and was thus enabled to make his confession, for the unfortunate creature was in a state of sin. After confession, he declared that, on account of this devotion, the Blessed Virgin had obtained for him so great a grace, and immediately expired. It would not then be anything very great for a person who pretends to be devout to Mary, and particularly for one who perhaps has already deserved hell, to offer her this fast on Saturdays. I affirm that those who practice this devotion can hardly be lost. Not that I mean to say that if they die in mortal sin the Blessed Virgin will deliver them by a miracle, as she did this bandit. These are prodigies of divine mercy which very rarely occur, and it would be the height of folly to expect eternal salvation by such means. But I say that for those who practice this devotion, the Divine Mother will make perseverance in God's grace easy, and obtain them a good death. All the members of our little congregation who are able to do so, practice this devotion. I say those who are able to do so, for if our health does not permit it, at least we should on Saturdays content ourselves with one dish, or observe an ordinary fast,
or abstain from fruit, or something for which we have a relish. On Saturdays we should always practice some devotion in honor of our Blessed Lady, receive Holy Communion, or at least hear Mass, visit an image of Mary, wear a hair cloth, or something of that sort. But at least on the vigils of her seven principal festivals, her clients should offer her this fast, either on bread and water, or honor her otherwise as best they can. Part 5. Visiting the Images of Mary. Father Signeri says that the devil did not know how to repair his losses in the overthrow of idolatry better than by attacking sacred images through the instrumentality of heretics. But the Holy Church has defended them even with the blood of martyrs, and the Divine Mother has shown by prodigies how pleasing to her are the visits paid to her images. St. John Damascene had his hand cut off for having defended by his writings the images of Mary, but his Sovereign Lady miraculously restored it to him. Father Spinelli relates that in Constantinople a veil that covered an image of the Blessed Virgin on every Saturday drew itself aside, and after Vespers again closed of its own accord. The veil of an image of our Blessed Lady, visited by St. John of God, was once withdrawn in a similar manner, so much so that the sacristan, thinking that the saint was a robber, kicked him, but his foot instantly withered. Hence all Mary's clients often visit with great affection her images and the churches dedicated in her honor. These are precisely, according to St. John Damascene, the cities of refuge in which we can find safety from temptations and the chastisements that we have deserved for our sins. The first thing that Emperor St. Henry used to do on entering a city was to visit a church of our Blessed Lady. Father Thomas Sanchez used never to return home without having visited some church of Mary. Let us not think it too much to visit our Queen every day in some church or chapel, or even in our own house, where, for this purpose, it would be well to have in a retired part a little oratory, with her image, which should be kept decorated with drapery, flowers, tapers, or lamps. And before it we should also recite her litany, the rosary, etc. For this purpose I have published a little book, which has already been reprinted 8 times, of visits to the Blessed Sacrament, as well as to the Blessed Virgin, for every day in the month. Some devout client of Mary could also have one of her feasts celebrated in a church or chapel with greater solemnity than it otherwise would be, and have it preceded by a novena, with exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, and even with sermons. Here, however, it is well to relate a fact recorded by Father Spinelli in his book of Miracles of the Madonna. In the year 1611, on the vigil of Pentecost, an immense concourse of people had assembled at the celebrated sanctuary of Mary in Montevergine. The people had profaned the feast with dances, excesses, and immodest conduct, when suddenly it was discovered that fire was bursting forth from the house of amusement in which they were assembled, and in less than an hour and a half it was reduced to ashes, and more than 400 persons lost their lives. 5 persons who escaped deposed on oath that they had seen Our Blessed Lady herself set fire to the place with 2 torches. After this, I entreat the clients of Mary to keep away as much as possible from such sanctuaries during festivals, and also, as far as they can, to prevent others from going there. For on such occasions the devil gains more profit than the Blessed Virgin derives honor by it. Let those who have this devotion go at a time when there is no concourse of people. Part 5. The Scapular. As men esteem it an honor to have persons who wear their livery, so also is Our Blessed Lady pleased that her clients should wear her scapular, as a mark that they have dedicated themselves to her service, and that they are members of the household of the Mother of God. Modern heretics, as usual, ridicule this devotion, but the Holy Church has approved it by many bulls and indulgences. Fathers Crasset and Lazana, speaking of the scapular of Mount Carmel, relate that towards the year 1251, the Blessed Virgin appeared to St. Simon Stock, an Englishman, and giving him the scapular, said that all who should wear it would be saved from eternal damnation. She said, "Receive, my beloved son, this scapular of thy order, the badge of my confraternity, a privilege granted to thee and to all Carmelites. Whoever dies clothed with it will not suffer eternal flames." Moreover, Father Crasset relates that Mary appeared to Pope John the 22nd and commanded him to make it known that all those who should wear this scapular would be delivered from purgatory on the Saturday after their death. And this he did by a bull, which was afterwards confirmed by Alexander the 5th, Clement the 7th, and other pontiffs. Paul the 5th, as we have remarked in the first part of this work, gives us to understand the same thing, and seems to explain the bulls of his predecessors, and prescribes in his the conditions on which the indulgences may be gained. These conditions are that each one should observe the chastity required in his state of life, and the recitation of the little office of the Blessed Virgin. Those who cannot do so must be exact in keeping the fast days prescribed by the Church, and abstain from meat on Wednesdays and Saturdays. The indulgences, moreover, which are annexed to the scapular of Mount Carmel, of the $7 of Our Lady, of the Blessed Trinity, and especially of the Immaculate Conception, are innumerable, as well partial as plenary, both in life and for the hour of death. For my own part, I have been careful to receive all these scapulars. To that of the Immaculate Conception in particular, very great indulgences have been attached by various sovereign pontiffs. Part 7. Confraternities of Our Blessed Lady. Some disapprove of confraternities because they sometimes give rise to quarrels, and because many join them for temporal purposes. But as churches and the sacraments are not condemned because there are too many who make a bad use of them, neither should confraternities be condemned. The sovereign pontiffs, so far from condemning them, have approved and highly commended them, and also enriched them with many indulgences. St. Francis de Sales, with great earnestness, exhorts all seculars to join them. What pains, moreover, did not St. Charles Borromeo take to establish and multiply these confraternities? In his synods he particularly recommends confessors to engage their penitents to join them, and with good reason, for these sodalities, especially those of Our Blessed Lady, are so many Noah's arks in which poor seculars find a refuge from the deluge of temptations and sins which inundate the world. We, from the experience of our missions, well know the utility of these confraternities. As a rule, a man who does not attend the meetings of a confraternity commits more sins than 20 men who do attend them. A confraternity can well be called a Tower of David. 1,000 bucklers hang upon it, all the armor of valiant men. The reason that confraternities do so much good is that in them the members acquire many weapons of defense against hell, and put in practice the requisite means of preservation in divine grace, which are seldom made use of by seculars who are not members of these confraternities. 1. In the first place, one means of salvation is to meditate on the eternal truths. Remember thy last end, and thou shalt never sin. How many are lost because they neglect to do this? With desolation is all the land made desolate, because there is none that considereth in his heart. But those who frequent the meetings of their confraternities are led to think of these truths by the many meditations, lectures, and sermons they hear there, My sheep hear my voice. 2. To save one's soul, prayer is necessary. Ask and you shall receive. This the members of the confraternities do constantly. God also hears their prayers the more readily, for he has himself said that he grants graces more willingly to prayers offered up in common. If two of you shall consent upon earth concerning anything whatsoever they shall ask it, it shall be done to them by my Father. On which Saint Ambrose says that many who are weak, when united, become strong, and it is impossible that the prayers of so many should not be heard. 3. In confraternities, the sacraments are most likely to be frequented, both on account of the rules and the example which is given by the other members. And thus perseverance in grace is more easily obtained. The Sacred Council of Trent having declared that Holy Communion is an antidote whereby we may be freed from daily faults and be preserved from mortal sins. 4. Besides the frequentation of the sacraments in these confraternities, many acts of mortification, humility, and charity towards the sick brethren and the poor are performed. Well would it be if this holy custom of assisting the sick poor of the place were introduced into all confraternities. 5. We have already said how profitable it is for our salvation to serve the Mother of God. And what else do the members of the confraternity do but serve her? How much is she not praised there? How many prayers are not there offered to her? From the very beginning, the brothers are consecrated to her service. They choose her in an especial manner for their sovereign lady and mother. They are inscribed in the book of the children of Mary. Hence, as they are her servants and children in an especial manner are they treated by her, and she protects them in life and in death, so that a member of a confraternity of Mary can say, "Now all good things came to me together with it." Each member should therefore pay attention to two things. First of all, the object that he should have in view should be no other than to serve God and his mother Mary and save his soul. Secondly, not to allow worldly affairs to prevent his attendance at the meeting on the appointed days. For he has there to attend to the most important business that he has in the world, which is his eternal salvation. He should also endeavor to draw as many others as he can to join the confraternity, and especially to bring back those members who have left it. Oh, with what terrible chastisements has our Lord punished those who have abandoned the confraternity of our Blessed Lady! There was a brother who did so in Naples. When he was exhorted to return, he answered, "I will do so when my legs are broken and my head is cut off." He prophesied, for a short time afterwards, some enemies of his broke his legs and cut off his head. On the other hand, the members who persevere have both their temporal and spiritual wants provided for by Mary. All her domestics are clothed with double garments. Father Orema relates how many special graces Mary grants to members of the confraternity, both in life and in death, but more particularly in death. Father Crasset gives an account of a young man who, in the year 1586, was dying. He fell asleep, but afterwards waking, he said to his confessor, "Oh, Father, I have been in great danger of damnation. But our Blessed Lady rescued me. The devils presented my sins before our Lord's tribunal, and they were already preparing to drag me to hell, but the Blessed Virgin came and said to them, 'Whither are you taking this young man? What business have you with a servant of mine, who has served me so long in my confraternity?' The devils fled, and thus was I delivered from their hands." The same author also relates that another brother had also, at the point of death, a great battle with hell. But at length, having conquered, filled with joy, he exclaimed, Oh, what a blessing it is to serve the Holy Mother in her confraternity! And thus, filled with consolation, he expired. He then adds that in Naples, when the Duke of Popoli was dying, he said to his son, "Son, know that the little good that I have done in this life I attribute to my confraternity. Hence, I have no greater treasure to leave thee than the confraternity of Mary. I now value more having been one of its members than being Duke of Popoli." Part 8. The Alms Given in Mary's Honor. Clients of the Blessed Virgin are accustomed to give alms to the poor in honor of the Divine Mother, especially on Saturdays. That holy shoemaker, of whom St. Gregory speaks of in his dialogues, his name was Dusdedit, used on Saturday to distribute all his earnings of the past week to the poor. Hence, a holy soul in a vision saw a sumptuous palace, which God was preparing in heaven for this servant of Mary, but its construction only went on Saturdays. St. Gerard never refused anything at any time for which he was asked in Mary's name. Father Martin Gutierrez of the Society of Jesus did the same, and in consequence acknowledged that he had never asked Mary for a grace which he had not obtained. This servant of hers, having been put to death by the Huguenots, the Divine Mother appeared to his companions, accompanied by virgins, who, by her direction, wrapped the body in linen and carried it away. Saint Eberhard, Bishop of Salzburg, practiced the same devotion, and on account of it, a holy monk saw him as a child in the arms of Mary, who said, "This is my son Eberhard, who never denied me anything." Alexander of Hales, who had the same devotion, being once asked in the name of Mary by a Franciscan lay brother to join the order, immediately complied, gave up the world, and became a friar. Let therefore no client of the Blessed Virgin think it too much to give a trifling alms every day in her honor, and to increase it on Saturdays. If they can do nothing else, they should at least perform some other act for the love of Mary, such as visiting the sick, praying for sinners, and for the souls in purgatory, etc. Works of mercy are very pleasing to the heart of this Mother of Mercy. Part 9. Frequent Recourse to Mary. Of all devotions, there is none so pleasing to our Mother as that of having frequent recourse to her intercession, seeking her help in all our wants, for example, when we have to give or ask advice, in dangers, afflictions, and temptations, and particularly in temptations against purity. The Divine Mother will then certainly deliver us, if we have recourse to her by saying the antiphon, "We fly to thy patronage," etc., or with the Hail Mary, or by only invoking the most holy name of Mary, which has particular power against the devils. Blessed Santi, of the Order of St. Francis, being once tempted with an impure thought, had recourse to Mary. She immediately appeared to him, and placing her hand on his breast, delivered him. It is also useful on these occasions to kiss or press to our heart our rosary or scapular, or to look at an image of the Blessed Virgin. It is well also to know that Pius X granted 300 days indulgence to those who pronounce the names of Jesus and Mary, and 7 years and 7 quarantines for the 3 names of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Part 10. Several other practices in honor of Mary. 1. To say or hear Mass, or to have Mass said in honor of the Blessed Virgin. It is true that the holy sacrifice of the Mass can be offered to God alone, to whom it is offered principally and as acknowledgment of His supreme dominion. But the Sacred Council of Trent says that this does not prevent it from being, at the same time, offered to God in thanksgiving for graces granted to the saints and to His Most Holy Mother, that whilst we are mindful of them, they may deign to intercede for us. And for this reason, at Mass we say, that it may avail to their honor, but to our salvation. Our Blessed Lady herself revealed to a holy soul that this devotion of offering the Mass, as also of saying the Our Father, the Hail Mary, and Glory be to the Father three times, in honor of the Most Holy Trinity, and in thanksgiving for the graces granted to her, was most pleasing to her. For the Blessed Virgin, being unable to thank our Lord for all the precious gifts He has bestowed on her, rejoices greatly when her children help her to thank God. 2. To reverence the saints who are more nearly related to Mary, as Saint Joseph, Saint Joachim, and Saint Anne. The Blessed Virgin herself recommended a certain nobleman to be devout towards her mother, Saint Anne. We should also honor the saints who are most devoted to the Divine Mother, such as St. John the Evangelist, St. John the Baptist, St. Bernard, St. John Damascene, the defender of her images, St. Ildefonsus, the defender of her virginity, etc. 3. To read every day a book that treats of the glories of Mary, to preach, or at least to try to instill into all, and particularly our relatives, devotion to the Divine Mother. The Blessed Virgin once said to Saint Bridget, "Take care that thy children are also my children." To pray every day for the most devoted clients of Mary, both living and dead. We should also remember the many indulgences granted by sovereign pontiffs to those who in various ways honor the Queen of Heaven. 1. To whoever says, "Blessed be the Holy and Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God," Leo XIII granted for each time an indulgence of 300 days. 2. For the Litany of Loreto, 300 days indulgence. 3. For the names of Jesus and Mary, 300 days indulgence. And for the names of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, 7 years and 7 quarantines. Here, for the convenience of devout souls, I will indicate other indulgences granted by sovereign pontiffs for other devotions. 1. For hearing Mass when specially granted. 2. For making an act of contrition. Benedict XV granted 300 days, and for an act of love, "My God, I love Thee," 300 days. 3. To those who say the invocation, "O Mary, Queen of Light, enlighten sinners and bring them to the heart of Thy Divine Son," 300 days indulgence. 4. To those who meditate for at least a quarter of an hour every day, Benedict XIV granted many indulgences, and a plenary one once a month, on condition of approaching the sacraments of penance and the Holy Eucharist. 5. To those who say the prayer Anima Christi, 300 days indulgence. 6. To those who accompany the Holy Viaticum, 5 years and 5 times 40 days, if without a wax light, and if with one, 7 years and 7 quarantines. Those who cannot accompany it, but say a Pater and an Ave for the intention of the Sovereign Pontiff, 100 days. For a brief visit and adoration at the altar of the Blessed Sacrament on first entering a church, made before anything else, 300 days. As also for every exterior act of reverence when passing a church or chapel where the Blessed Sacrament is reserved. To priests who before Mass say the prayer, "Ego volo celebrare missam," 50 days. The Rocolta gives very many other indulgences. Those who endeavor to gain these indulgences must be careful to dispose themselves by an act of contrition. I omit other devotions which may be found in other books, such as those of the 7 joys, of the 12 privileges of Mary, and the like, and conclude in the beautiful words of Saint Bernardine of Siena.
O Lady, blessed amongst all women, thou art the honor of the human race and the salvation of our people. Thy merits have no limits, and thou hast full power over all creatures. Thou art the Mother of God, the Sovereign Lady of the world, and the Queen of Heaven. Thou art the dispenser of all graces, and the ornament of the Holy Church. Thou art the model of the just, the consolation of the saints, and the root of our salvation. Thou art the joy of paradise, the gate of heaven, the glory of God. Behold, we have announced thy praises. We beseech thee, then, O Mother of Mercy, to supply for our weakness, to excuse our presumption, to accept our services, to bless our labors, by imprinting thy love in the hearts of all, that after having honored and loved thy Son on earth, we may praise him and bless him forever in heaven. Amen. Conclusion. And with this, my dear reader and brother, lover of our Mother Mary, I bid you farewell and say, continue with joy to honor and love this good lady, and endeavor also to cause her to be loved by as many as you can. And doubt not, but be fully persuaded, that if you persevere until death in true devotion to Mary, your salvation is certain. I conclude, not that I should not still have much to say in the glories of this great queen, but lest I should tire you. The little that I have written will be more than sufficient to make you desire this great treasure, devotion towards the Mother of God, which she will fully reward by her powerful patronage. Accept, then, the desire which I have had in this work, to lead you to salvation and to sanctify, by inflaming you with love and ardent devotion to this most amiable queen. And should you find that in this I have somewhat helped you by my book, as a charity I beg that you will recommend me to Mary, and ask her for me the grace which I ask her for you, that we may one day be together at her feet, in company with all her other dear children. And to thee do I turn in conclusion, O Mother of my Lord, and my Mother Mary. I beseech thee graciously to accept my poor labors, and the desire which I have had to see thee praised and loved by all. Thou well knowest how ardently I have desired to complete this little work of thy glories before the end of my life, which is already drawing to its close. But now I die happy, leaving this book on earth, which will continue to praise and preach thee, as I have endeavored to do so during the years which have passed since my conversion, which through thee I obtained from God. O Immaculate Mary, I recommend all those who love thee to thee, and especially those who read this little book, and more particularly those who have the charity to recommend me to thee. O Lady, grant them perseverance, make them all saints, and thus lead them all united to praise thee in heaven. O my most sweet Mother, it is true that I am only a poor sinner, but I glory in loving thee, and hope great things from thee, and amongst others to die loving thee. I trust that in the agonies of death, when the devil will put my sins before me, that in the first place the passion of Jesus, and then thy intercession, will strengthen and enable me to leave this miserable life in the grace of God, that so I may go and love him, and thank thee, my Mother, for all eternity. Amen. Lovely Rose, if thou dost deign love to lavish still on me, grant my heart such love to gain, that it die for love of thee. My Lady, grant this grace to me, to love thee until death, and when I die to call on thee still with my latest breath. My hope art thou, O Mary blessed, sweet star of life's dark sea. Ah, guide me safe to the port of rest, and open heaven to me. Live Jesus, Mary, Joseph, and Teresa. We will continue with some meditations of St. Alphonsus de Liguori on the next side of the tape.